You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it is always good to hear your voice. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. It's been a full morning of meetings, but that's a good thing to do, and yet glad some of them are over. So that's good.
Awesome. Well, today was our first day of the school year, so we have a third grader, first grader, and a kindergartner. Everybody's school age.
I cannot believe that.
I know. Yeah. So sounds like a fun and busy morning for both of us. So anyway.
So when we were catching up for this thing, you were telling me that one of your focuses was math. And I'm like, so glad it was you and not me, because your poor children would be completely confused by now if I was helping them with math.
Well, and when I say fun, I guess I wasn't really thinking about math, because math was a little gnarly, but we're all just easing back into it. So anyways, yeah. Okay, so Dad, last week in the Leadership Edge newsletter, there was an article that you wrote called Stepping Forward in His Church. And I know we're going to include that as part of the show notes. And so you and I decided to discuss this article's message on today's podcast, which this was kind of like a quick snap decision to record this. And I just read it for the first time. And Dad, it's really good and like kind of fiery for you. I don't normally think of you as fiery, but it's like, all right. So can you start us off by summarizing the message of Stepping Forward in His Church and what brought this article about?
Yeah, well, we hope what brought it about is God's Holy Spirit, but I guess we'll see over time.
Right.
But, you know, I was in conversation with a dear friend, a guy who's a businessman in another city. And in his city, COVID has really hit hard in this last year, and a lot of sickness, everything kind of shut down. And for one reason or another, a lot of people, and especially a lot of Christian people who have moved out of the city because of just the impact of COVID. Hmm. And as he and I were talking, these are me kind of putting in my words what he was saying, but he was basically like, John, I just don't know if I can do church again, right?
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm pretty beat up from this last year. So many of our church friends have left the city. I just don't know if I have it within me to kind of get back in. Their church is going back to public services and to just be back in 100%. And it was like when he said that, it was just like something went off inside of me, not like anger.
Yeah.
But it was more like, you just can't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to just think of the great need that the Christian church in the United States is under right now.
Absolutely.
And just was wanting to help him to see the urgent need that there is for him to step forward in a committed way to his church, mindful of how this COVID season has been for him, but not seeing it only through that lens.
Yeah.
And so another thing that was going on over the last few weeks is I have been in conversation with a number of pastors across the country, and we've talked about different kinds of things.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've sensed with them is, you know, they don't even know who their church is right now. Like, they don't know if they're going to be back to 80% of where they were, 50%, 90%. They don't know where they're at financially. And they don't know who they can depend upon.
Yeah.
And so it just occurred to me that this is a critical time. And so I think that's what generated, really last Sunday, a week ago, me just sitting and writing out what became the newsletter and now will be the thoughts in this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess, what are your concerns for the church? And then what's unique about those concerns? Like, flesh this out a little bit more.
Well, you know, there's always concerns for the church in terms of, you know, is the church staying true to its mission? And how is the church doing in the overall culture?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think in the U.S., we are definitely in a time of, in a lot of ways, decline in Christian numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And also in being more and more marginalized in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes vilified in the culture as
yes.
being almost the enemy of the culture. So that's going on, and that is not desirable, but, you know, those kind of things have definitely happened before to the church in different places. I think two other things that come to mind that make this moment even more critical. One is the effect of COVID in terms of the church has been dispersed for a year
mm-hmm.
or more. And there has begun to be kind of a sense of, you know, man, I'm kind of liking not having to get dressed up on Sundays kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
convenient.
And beyond that, a lot of my friends have left. And I think that it's rare that a church, the church in the U.S. is trying to regroup after a pandemic. Now, in other parts of the world, that happens, you know, perhaps you could say more often
mm-hmm.
in countries
mm-hmm.
that just, you know, you think of this week, just yesterday, we heard of the mm-hmm. earthquake in Haiti, and now torrential rains in Haiti. And, you know, that poor country has just been pummeled.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wonder how the church fares there. But for the U.S. church, we have right, goodly or badly, or however you want to think about it, it's been a lot less cataclysmic for our church. And yet COVID has really hit us hard. But I think another thing that's of concern to me is so much of the polarity and the vitriol of the general American culture right now has spilled into the church
mm-hmm.
to where we don't know how to talk to each other anymore about differences. And
yeah.
what we want to do, even in the church, is just polarize, just sling stuff at each other and not be the body of Christ. I was talking to someone just a week or so ago who their father is an older man now, but in his day was very much one of the leaders in the evangelical world of American Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to her that he had never seen a time in his lifetime when the church in the United States was as challenged as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I've listed off a lot of stuff there, but
yeah.
but it is a really difficult time for the church and for its pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me that we've, however we think about our re-entry to the church, our recommitment to the church post-COVID kind of close down, it can't be just with starting with myself and how bad has it been for me and how do I feel about how I want to spend my Sundays?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be more than any time probably in any of our lifetimes. The church in the United States needs us to be what we call skin in the game, blood on the court, committed to the local church.
Man, that's good, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, And some of what we're discussing, especially like the polarity and all of that, reminds me of when we did that podcast recording on getting along in 2021.
Yes.
But one of the things that you talked about was resilience and just the ability to kind of move past the things that aren't how you would want them to be. And of course, there's lines with that. You know, there's certain lines mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe it is time to find a different church. But I think a lot of what you're saying is just, some of it boils down to our preferences or convenience. And I was thinking as you were talking about Haiti, about what's happening in Afghanistan right now.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Just saying to my kids, like, this is such a gift that we get to go to church and that we, you know, we're safe at church. And so, yeah.
Absolutely.
So in the Leadership Edge newsletter, you gave 5 reasons why we should be sacrificially committed to our local churches. Can you explain those to us?
Yeah. Well, I will. The first one is because God's called you to. God's called us to
be
sacrificially committed. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, Paul's talking about his commitment. He says, "Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you." He's speaking to the church there in Colossae. "For the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become its servant." So he's talking about he is suffering. He is fully in, again, skin in the game, blood on the court committed, you know, because of his love for the church, but also because it is the body of Christ, and that's what God's called him to.
Yeah.
But then, you know, for another example in the Bible is Christ himself. In Ephesians 5:25, it says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says to us, just us believers, "You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So it's like we can't decide, well, maybe I'll be a part, maybe I won't be a part.
Mm-hmm.
God has established the church, and he's established each of us as a part.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same section, in verses 25 and 26, it says that as members of the body, our commitment to each other should be such that we share each other's concerns, we suffer with each other, we honor each other, we're in it together. So the first reason is just God's called you to it, and Christ and Paul exemplified what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I think a second reason is your pastor needs to know who he can count on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to be cheered on by the commitment of those people. Because
mm-hmm.
again, he's sitting here thinking, I don't know who the church is right now. I don't know who's in, who's not. I don't know how we're going to make it financially. Many churches are feeling that. And they're generally discouraged because the pastors are wanting us to kind of re-engage, to reach out to the community again, maybe better than we've been able to in this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the pastors have to know who's in, who can we count on, and that really give them courage to keep leading. So that's the second reason.
Mm-hmm.
Third reason is your life, your leadership, and your influence will not be what God wants it to be if you're not giving and receiving spiritual encouragement and nourishment through the local church.
Mm-hmm.
God just made us that way. And I can guarantee it. You can take it to the bank. Whatever kind of man or woman, whatever kind of leader, whatever person of influence you think you're to be as a Christian, it will not go well if you're not plugged in, committed to a local church. God
mm-hmm.
just made it that way. Fourth reason is your children, if you have children, and others you influence, need to see what commitment to the local church looks like during a pandemic and societal unrest. So the world's watching. And those closest mm-hmm. to us, like our children or our grandchildren, they're watching most closely. And we must model for them, this is what God's people do when the church is in turmoil, when the church is in a rough season. Mm-hmm. We commit, we're in. And then the last one is, you know, our country and the world have been ravaged by COVID and unrest. And the church has the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's like, what an opportunity we have for ministry to a broken and often hostile world. But the goal can't just be, well, we'll go out and share the gospel. We'll go out and maybe some become Christians. We'll go out and feed the poor. It begins there, but somehow it's got to move to part two, which is, and bringing them into the church of Jesus Christ, the church that we're committed to, the church that we're a part of.
Yeah.
So it's a time for mission for all of us, but it, no Lone Ranger kind of missioning is going to work. It has to be, as we're reaching people, either individually or corporately, them coming to be a part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, and all of those were really compelling, I think, but 3, 4, and 5, I feel like all hit on something that Adam, my husband, and I have been talking about a lot over this last year of, because I think, you know, for us, for after a while in COVID, it was a big adjustment. But then, yeah, there were some things that were kind of convenient about, you know, not having evening plans and, you know, life just kind of scaled back for us in some ways. And I know for others, it was very different than that. But, but one of the things that we've been talking about is things are picking back up, and there can be a tendency for us to kind of feel like, oh man, life's getting busy again. And, you know, like to just kind of, I think I've even said a few different times of like, I kind of wish that I could go back to when we didn't have as much going on. But I think the thing, and Adam has reminded me of this, and I think for both of us, just kind of purposing in our hearts moving forward from this point of seeing how much we do need the body. And like you said, you know, like online church isn't a long-term option because, yeah, like it's in the, in us serving and us like being open and honest and getting input on areas where we're struggling or in serving others and looking beyond our small family and what we want and need. And modeling that for our kid, you know, you're right. Yep. Like so much of it is just God somehow, just his power comes and his transformation comes as we're part of a body. Anyways, so I know that you believe that long-term Christians won't thrive well without commitment to a local church that teaches God's word, you know, and honors God and its means and its ends. So like, tell me more about that. Flesh this out a little bit more.
Well, we definitely want to, you know, put some parameters in here that,
okay,
you know, if by chance, you know, any of our listeners are in a church that has just gone off the deep end in terms of biblical theology or how people are treated, like if the church, both in the means it chooses to accomplish its mission and the end, like what is the goal, if that's gone south, then we're not advocating that you are sacrificially committed there.
Yeah.
We're just saying that somewhere out there, there is a Bible teaching, God honoring fellowship that he wants you to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we really believe that you won't thrive well, you won't have the influence that God wants you to have, if you don't commit to a local church, you know, one is back to that 1 Corinthians 12, that we're members of the body. And, you know, the, say the, I don't know, left little finger can say, okay, I'm not going to be a part of the body anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the body goes on without it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's missed, and it's still needed, but the body goes on.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is the finger that's now disconnected from the body just dies and rots because of that. So one reason we know that this is true is just the picture that Jesus gave us of his body.
Mm-hmm.
But another reason is we've done Leadership Edge now for almost 30 years. And if I think through of the people who are mentored in their late teens, early 20s, maybe, or all their 20s or early 30s, as I look at their lives now, like 10, 15, 20, almost 30 years later, and I look at what are the common traits of those that are really thriving well as Christian men and women and as Christian leaders, without fail, one of the commonalities is that they're sacrificially committed to the local church. And so we've seen this now for three decades.
That's
an essential ingredient.
I mean, that's good. Well, and so, Dad, you know, what would you say to a person? Because I feel like we've already kind of touched on that there are people have been, everybody I feel like has been impacted in some ways over this past year. And I think some people are feeling really beat up after everything with COVID and just the societal communication and everything. So what would you say to a person who just feels like they don't have the emotional energy to commit to a church right now or doesn't feel like they have much to offer? What's your advice?
Well, one is to be honest, you know, to be honest with themselves and, you know, and honest with the pastors or other leaders in their church of where they're at, you know, that, that maybe they are pretty beat up. Maybe they don't have much to offer. But the thing that is essential for them to think about is, will they recover from being beat up, from being kind of drained right now? Will they recover better sitting by themselves apart from the body of Christ? Or will they recover better by honestly engaging in the body of Christ, you know, being honest about where they're at, but stepping towards full involvement in the church? And again, you have to measure this out, and you do have to think through with your leaders, you know, what is reasonable for me to do right now? But I think the clear teaching of the Bible and the bias of my own life experience is you will heal up a lot better and you will heal up a lot more healthily if you do it in the church rather than by sequestering yourself apart from the church. I think that's exactly right.
That's good. Okay, and then let's talk about another group of people. What would you say to those who have lost confidence in the church and its leadership over the past year? You know, deconstruction is like a big buzzword right now. Like, what would you say to people who are struggling with maybe feeling like the church has lost its mission or something like that?
Well, yeah, this could be like six podcasts probably. I think that you have to be prayerful and just have to ask the Lord, God, is this just pickiness and pettiness on my part? Or is there something really wrong here? And then, you know, have some people around you that will be honest with you and ask them the same. Like, is this just pickiness and pettiness on my part? Or is there something, you know, real here? And I would say, as you're doing that introspection, if this is the sixth time that you've kind of come to the end of the road with a church, then it's probably not the church's problem. It's probably your problem. I think that we have to learn to humble ourselves and give up some of our insistences about it must be this way or that way, or the sermons must be this way or that way. And just humbly receive the church as it is, even if you feel like it's not being particularly effective in one thing or the other. I would say that generally churches really struggle with being consistently effective in things. Mm-hmm. I think that's hard for churches to continue to pull together and be as we tend to think of effectiveness. Mm-hmm. We tend to be able to think of a lot quicker ways, a lot smarter ways, a lot whatever ways to do things. Mm-hmm. And yet slowly, God works his purposes through the church, even if sometimes it seems like, man, this could be a lot faster or a lot more effective. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not in any way condoning, you know, sloppiness or poor effort. Mm-hmm. But I think that we do have to almost apply that taking the plank out of our eye before we take the speck out of someone else's eye and apply it to our membership of the church.
That's good.
You know, what amount of this is about the plank in my eye? And then what amount of this is about the speck in the church's or the pastor's eyes? Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, if there's, you know, if there's ungodliness, if there's unbiblical teaching, if there's, you know, stuff that's just wrong, then you have to decide, okay, biblically, how would God want me to deal with this? Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, do I approach them in private, you know, and have those kind of conversations? What do I do? Mm-hmm. I will wrap up my comments on this by just saying the world needs to see conflict resolution in the church be worked out way differently than how they see it in the world. Mm-hmm. And if in our differences in the church, if all we know to do is just either pick up our toys and leave or just throw bombs at each other, then the waiting world, the watching world, is seeing such a poor example of what the love of Christ and the fellowship of the church is all about. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult.
Yeah.
But we need to be very thoughtful and prayerful in how we deal with those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I liked what you were saying about just, yeah, I mean, any group of people is probably not at every point going to be, you know, the fastest way, the smart, you know, like people are people and people are, I guess, messy. And even like church leadership, and I want to be really clear, we go to an awesome church. Actually, we go to the same church now, which is really fun.
That's right. So guys at our church, we're not in any way insinuating anything about you other than our deep love and appreciation for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I guess I was thinking, you know, with what you were talking about, having like a critical spirit, I think it can be so easy, or I think at different points, I in the past maybe have, you know, had, I almost kind of have seen like leadership as a different category, you know, like almost like not humans, and yeah, and recognizing, well, why do I think that? And I think part of it is I just believe, you know, that God is at work and leading through, you know, our pastors and church staff and their wives. But also having to recognize, but I have access to that same Holy Spirit. And maybe, yes, you know, like, yes, maybe there are things in me where, like, God's calling me to, you know, step forward and, you know, grow in some ways or pray more for our pastors and staff, yes, and their wives. You know, maybe this is something that God is wanting me to do in my different role, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I think it's also important. I think pastors' wives, too, this has been a really difficult, yes, season. Like, I'm thinking about just some pastors' wives that I know, you know, who their husbands were running outdoor church, you know, and there's, mm-hmm, no childcare, and they have 4 kids, 6 and under. And, you know, just like, yeah, those pressures, or pastors' wives who have major medical conditions and figuring out how to navigate that. So I think it's like the pastors' wives, too, really supporting them. But Dad, as we wrap up, I'd love to hear you talk about the hope that you have for the church.
Well, I tell you, I have absolute hope, 100% hope. And that's because it's the Lord's church. Yes, it is. It is His church. And He will sustain it. He will bless it. He will discipline it. He will do all that He has in mind to do. But He has made a commitment to His church. And it is unfailing. And though on earth today, we should have concerns about our church and our commitment to it, God is not on His throne today wringing His hands over this. He knows exactly how He's going to affect His will. But He does invite us to be a part. And I'll wrap up just quickly with a reminder from the book of Esther. When Esther is the queen and the king has been tricked into making a law that all the Jews of the land must be killed. And so Mordecai, her cousin, comes and says to the queen, you've got to go in and appeal to the king to take this away. And you can kind of tell Esther's a little shaken by this, because in that day and that custom, if she just comes into the king's presence without him requesting her, if she just kind of comes into his presence, she could be killed on the spot. That's just kind of part of the deal. So you get the sense that Mordecai is realizing she's shaking a little bit on this. And he says to her, he says, you know, God is going to save His people one way or the other. And then he says, but you have this opportunity to be a part of it. And he says that line, you know, who knows if God put you in this place for such a time as this. And then he says, but don't think that if you don't step forward, if you just play it safe, that this isn't going to come to your house too. And he's basically saying, she can play it safe, but if she does, it's going to come to her one way or the other. And I think that with the church in our country today, we can play it safe and just live by our comfort, be casually committed, and maybe heavily critical of the church. But two things we can know. God's going to preserve His church. And we can either be a part of that, or like everyone else, we can suffer the consequences otherwise. And I think that's part of God's word to us today, that He's got it, but we've got to step forward.
Awesome. Thanks, Dad. Yeah, this is a great episode, and I think one I'll go back and listen to. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Dad. Any final thoughts to wrap us up?
Well, yeah, just want to thank the listeners for listening today. Leadership Edge is about building God-honoring leaders that commit to the life vision statement of, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. Part of the show notes for today is we'll send you a digital version of the paper I wrote on stepping forward in His church, so you'll be able to have that. So be sure to request that, and we'll get it to you as soon as possible.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dad. And thanks, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.